Couldn't take it. Okay, Pastor, I might need to divide this group into three. So if I can divide right down the middle here, and you're group one, you're group two.
Three!
Okay. All right, I want you to take these snippets on music philosophy and turn to page three. We've got past the Chironomers, the musical trinity. These are what I'm calling philosophy Christian music shots for you. I'm going to read from the title of the page in verse 3, and then we're going to demonstrate a number of things. First of all, the musical trinity. God created music as a trinity of melody, harmony, and rhythm to reflect his own triune nature. And you can read about that in the book of Romans, where it says that even God's eternal power and eternal power and Godhead are in some ways understood by the things that are made. So God reflects his nature in the creation that he has brought about. And one of those amazing things is the trinities that are found in nature, which are very similar to the trinity of the Father, Son and the Holy Spirit. And if you ever get a chance to read Many Infallible Proofs by Henry Morris, he lists many, many trinities. To give you an example, we live in a triune universe made up of mass, space, time. You can't have mass without space and time. They're all interdependent and interrelated, and they're one universe. But it's a tri-universe. This reflects God's tri-nature. You look at each of those, and each of those he shows as a trinity. For instance, with space, we have three main dimensions. We have length, breadth, and height. Length is that mystical dimension of space that you can't really explain. And so our draftsmen and the mathematicians might put an 8 on the side, meaning that ray goes out there forever and ever and ever and ever. But how do you get hold of it? How do you get hold of the first dimension of space? Well, the people who draw drawings, they might say, we will represent this by a dot in the middle of the page, and you get a magnifying glass and look at it, and they've simply expressed it in two dimensions of that dot, like it's a piece, like a ray going through the bottom of the paper. So we find the first dimension of space is invisible, unapproachable, and very intangible. But space is manifest, space is perceived in the first dimension, but it is manifest in two dimensions. That which is hard, it's impossible for us to grasp, we see in two dimensions. We've got eyes set across our nose, but we're basically seeing two sets of two-dimensional pictures. It gives us a sense of depth, but we're actually seeing space manifested in two dimensions. The Bible says, no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son is in the bosom of the Father. He has declared him. God is manifest in the flesh in the person of his Son. And we can see him and perceive and he's been manifest to us. How do you experience space? You get in your car tonight and you'll be going in three dimensions and you're actually experiencing the whole motion of going through space in three dimensions. How do you experience God? You perceive him in the first person of the Godhead, the God the Father. He's manifested in the second person, God the Son, and he's experienced in God the Holy Spirit. So we see these things happening we see another trinity right before you now in the fact that music is a trinity of melody, harmony and rhythm. And I want to show to you by this simple exercise that a simple melody has all three of those elements in it. So I'm going to divide right down the centre here. A few people over here will pay attention. I want you to hold one note in a minute, and I want you to hold a second note of this lovely little chorus, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, what we have here is a simple little tune. You might know, the Lord is my shepherd, I'll walk with him away. Okay, so, sorry, like an old fan. The Lord is my shepherd. So what we're going to do is take this apart, basically, in pieces. I want you to hold the first note, and you hold the second note of this little thing, and you hold the third note. So the first one will be the, then you'll sing Lord, and you'll sing my, okay? Off we go. Here we are, first one. The Lord my. Round it out, let's hear it. Don't you wish they're all in your choir, Pastor? You have just produced beautiful harmony. Where did you get it from? You got it out of the melody here. And so the melody, actually, for a short space of time that flows through your memory, forms a context of musical consonance and dissonance and as well. So that's the first thing. So we can establish here that melody has inherent harmony dwelling in it. Horizontal harmony, because it moves out in time. Second point B, melody has inherent rhythm dwelling in it. How does melody have rhythm? Well, in a number of things, in a succession of long and short notes. The longest tend to sound stronger. Your trumpet player will know that. If he was a long note, he's blue in the face by the time he's heard it for four beats. A lot of energy required for a long note. My piano teacher said years ago, Ian, long note needs more pressure, more energy put into it on the keyboard, because you're going to be able to make it sing longer. So similarly, in any two successive notes, the higher will tend to sound stronger. Rest can sometimes act like negative rest, negative beats. So here we have this little chorus, I serve a risen Saviour, he's in the world today. Let's see what it goes. Okay, so where's the beat on that? Well, we could see it written down there, but it's short, long, short, long, short, long, long, short, long, short, long, short, long. Okay? So that's how you get, in a simple melody, you've now got a rhythm pulsating. So also, a pitch going, a higher, in a pitch jump, the higher note sounds stronger in this little hymn, Redeemed. Okay. So it's in the wrong key for a start. So it's jumping up, so it's weak, strong, it's also long. Weak, strong, higher. So pitch jumps where the higher sounds stronger than the lower note. And then the next thing that sort of ties it all together, the harmony is inherently melodic. That's called counterpoint. If you go back to our song about the Lord is my shepherd, I'll walk with him all the way, you'll probably know it well enough. If we put it together as a round, it harmonises vertically. We have lineal harmony and vertical harmony. So let's see if we can get it together. We just need two groups now, I think, on this one. So, oh, it doesn't matter really. I think we'll just leave people the way they are. Maybe, yeah, okay. If you think you feel led to help these people over here, maybe through here. Okay, so we'll talk from here through. So we go, the Lord is my shepherd, I'll walk with him away. And then on part C, what it says, C, it says, away, away, I'll walk with him away. You know it? Okay, so we're going to start the first group off. And we'll bring the second group, which is you intelligent people here, on the second idea, why they're still singing. So let's see how we go now. Okay, starting over here. Off you sing. You ready? So now we have the scene in that simple melody. We've got horizontal harmony as it moves out in time. By blending two compatible melodies together, which is called counterpoint, we have beautiful harmony vertically as well. So we've proven, I believe, that a simple melody has those three elements in it. Rhythm is produced also by combination of melody and harmony. So that's important to me because God has made it that way. And when you realize that and you make melody the governing member of the Trinity, you have great scope for producing great volumes of creativity in music, at the same time with form and beauty. So man didn't make rules in order to produce music. Man examined what God had already made and deduced the rules of it. And so they came up with rules when I was doing harmony. Thou shalt not harmonize or double up the third and the bass. And when you hear it, you know why. It sounds horrible. Right? So, and you wouldn't leave notes like this on the end of the song, but many people do today. So if you start governing your music by the melody principle, just as the Father is, there's an order within the Trinity of the Father, Son, I'm speaking reverently in the Holy Spirit. The Son brings glory to the Father, or brings the kingdom. The Holy Spirit brings glory to the Son. So there is an order in melody, harmony, and rhythm. And in a simple melody, you have literally all the laws you need to determine whether your music is good or bad. And that's why I believe that verse in Ephesians 5 and verse 18 and 19 says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess," the word means debauchery, "but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Now that's a command. God's people are commanded to sing in a certain way that makes melody in their hearts. In a simple scale, you have consonants and dissonance illustrated very well. I'll give it to you. You'll find there's stable harmony notes and unstable ones. Unstable harmony notes are not harmonious, but they seek to resolve harmoniously. So here's that's the first degree of a C scale. That's high dissonance. That's restful consonants, a third. The fourth is at rest, doesn't need to go anywhere. The fifth is at rest. The sixth is at rest. The seventh is highly dissonant. They tell the story of a music school in Europe. I don't know who the master was. And the boys that were his musical students lived upstairs and the old man lived downstairs. And they'd go out at night and come back in and they'd play a trick on the old man. And so they'd get on the piano and they'd go... And then they'd wait and hear this... come for the old man, because that has to go somewhere. But if you follow some of your music, But if you let the pressure off, that's consonance and dissonance. That's dissonant and that's consonance. That's pretty, isn't it? Because it went dissonant, consonant, dissonant, consonant. If you had no dissonance, it'd be terribly bland music. The God has arranged for consonance and dissonance to work, but there's got to be a balance and a resolution. The philosophy of this world never comes to a conclusion, never comes to rest. Your music on the ABC FM is getting worse and worse every year. It's harder and harder for our students in the AMEB to find music in list C and D, which is even logical. And it's frankly something which a Christian has struggles with. Well, I do. Haunted house music. Hopelessness, darkness, evil. Music is not neutral. It expresses something and it expresses it on the score. A musician who knows what they're looking for can see the score and say, this is going to be terrible. Or Christian rock music, you can just read the score and say, no, this is tipping the normal meter of the song upside down its head. So anything autonomous in God's world is destructive. If you're autonomous in some area of your life, then it's a great area for Satan to plug in what he wants there. So if you say, well, God doesn't say anything about music, you know, it's all neutral to us, as long as the words are okay and the musicians are, you know, not getting drunk all the time, that's good enough. It's not good enough at all. Because God has spoken about melody, and in that melody is the trinity of harmony and rhythm. Think about that as you develop your own personal philosophy of Christian music, what's acceptable before the Lord. We are to sing with melody in our hearts to the Lord. All right, I think we'll go back to the song leaders right now so they don't get too restless. Right, so song leading, here we are. So we looked at the 4-beat pattern, and we need to cover the 3-beat pattern. And I'm going to use, hopefully, how do I get this thing going? So just hit it like that. I'm looking for number 622. Six. This must be down the bottom here somewhere. Right? Six, two, two, there it is. Now, how do I get on that thing? Click it. Just click it. Oh, it's already ready to go. Enter. All right, it's going to go. So turn to your hymn book to 622. Yeah, that'd be good. I'm just trying to work out what to coordinate this here. Okay, 622 is Thank You, Lord, for Saving My Soul, I think. That's what we've got here. Give me half a second to get. Now, before you do it, we've got to actually see the. Okay, the 3-beat pattern, first of all. So let's see, 622.
When you're ready.
Yep.
Just press.
Enter, yep. Okay.
Just press the space bar when you're ready.
The space bar, all right, okay. So 622, you notice the key signature there at the beginning? It's like a fraction. Do you see the 3 over the 4? Nod if you can. Shake your head if you don't know what we're talking about. Okay. That's good. All right. So we've got how many counts to the measure? A measure of music is between the bar lines. Sorry? 3. Thank you. 3 beats in the measure. And what are we counting? What sort of animals? Quarter notes. Thank you. So thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. You know the one? All right, so now we've got a three-beat pattern. How do we do that? Well, page 10 will show you the three-beat pattern. And that could be 3/8, or it's fairly rare, but 3/4 to the measure. So what we have is a three-point one. So we're going to have our preparation beat again. Right, so we probably will be able to do this with this. So we're going to have our hand at 3 o'clock when we have our introduction, and then we're going to come up on the third beat and come down with a bounce. 1, 2, 3. Try it, okay? So we're going to be out here and do a preparation beat. 1, 2, 3. Make sure that your second beat is going away from your body on the side of your hand. We had a brother earlier saying he's left-handed. He can do this with the left hand and it would be better for him, okay? So he has to laterally invert all this. But basically, you want that second to last beat to come out past the body, because that signals we're going to the top there, rather than go across this way. You don't want to be going 1, 2, 3. What's the trouble? Because it's covering my face and you're not seeing it very clearly. So it's 1, 2, away from the body, 3, try it, okay? 1, 2, 3, okay. All right, and that'll repeat through there. So let's see how we go. Brother Simeon said, just hit the space bar, we'll see what happens. Sorry? So you've got the three-beat pattern. Any problems with that? Sorry? It was too fast. It was very fast. Okay. We couldn't tell him to slow down either. Right, sorry? No. Okay, let's look at the two-beat pattern now. And that goes on to page 11. And turn to 188, I think it is, in the hymn book. I think we might have our pianist back, we'd do better. Okay, this is interesting. It's 2-2. Mel, can we poll on you again to ask if you can help us with this again, please? Sorry. Now we're going to talk to the pianist somewhat on introductions, but just for now, I'm going to ask Mel whether she could play the first 1, 2, 3, 4 bars and then finish with the 1, 2, 3, 4 till moons shall wax and wane no more. Does that make sense? Jesus shall reign where the sun till moon shall wax and wane no more. That's what I call a split introduction. And we're going to find out later on, introductions have to do a number of things. They have to get you on pitch, but they also have to give the people a memory hook to what the first motive is. If you've got a hymn like Low in the Grave He Lay, and such a change in the chorus, up from the grave he arose, if the pianist uses that for the introduction, people say, I know the hymn, but how does it start? So you're going to lose half of them. So sometimes a split introduction, we're going to do the first 1, 2, 3, 4 asked a sun, and then we're going to ask Mel to skip right to the bottom of the page, and that last chord will bring us right on the pitch we need as well. Alright, so before we get onto that, we've got to look at the two beat pattern. And there's two possibilities here. One is that you simply use the one on the left hand side of page 11, where it's simply like a V. So it's one beat with a bounce. Two, one, two, that sort of thing. I would recommend the P there because it does show the congregation more definitely what's happening, right? Now, P works very well, so you're going to go down the downbeat and bounce. Then you do the circle of the P. One, two. One, two. I really highly recommend it too. I don't know where I picked that up. I think Gilbert Anger or someone. So you learn things. So, all right, let's look at 188. We've got a number of things. How many beats to the measure now? Now we're counting half notes. And it says 2-2, so how many beats to the measure? Two. So which pattern are we going to use? What's it look like? A P. Very good. So I said in the piano play the last few measures, we'll show you how I can do a split one by the first bit and then the last bit. And then we use the standard preparation beat, starting at 3 o'clock. So, all right, let's see how we go, Mel. Quizzy things. Let's go to page 12, and unfortunately the heading's on the bottom of page 11, which is called compound time. Let's see how we're going for time. We've got 10 more minutes. Compound time, we'll introduce you to that. The examples used today are all classed as simple time hymns. The beats that occur in simple time are notes such as half notes, quarter notes, or eighth notes. In compound time, the beats are made up of dotted notes. When a note has a dot placed on its right-hand side, the note value is lengthened by half its original time. So a dotted quarter note equals, literally, a quarter note plus an extra eighth note, which we've tied there with a tie, and equals literally 3/8 notes. So that leads us to the time of 6/8 time, where you have a grouping of two notes. Let's go to 159 in the book. It's a Fanny Crosby tune. It's interesting. And we notice that it's 6/8 time. And we notice also if you've got 159 open, that the notes are grouped with a brace across the top in groups of three. That's because the musician is saying, yes, we understand this song is a 6/8 song, but it can be interpreted either in six beats to the measure, which is would be a pain to try and signal. So it would be something like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Sometimes you get a 12/8. You'd be sort of doing all these little curtain things, especially when the music gets moving along. And you'll find if you're song leading and you're trying to do two lots of three here and it's going so fast, check it out, because it could be you should be doing a P there for every three. And I noticed that Brother Simeon was able to correct himself on Wednesday night. He was trying to beat this thing in. I thought, it's compound time. And I'm going, Anyway, he didn't even see me, but he just worked out in process that this was a compound time. Compound time's literally two times running together in sync, but each of the main beats has got three little beats on it. So it's like this. I could hit this. You say, well, isn't the first beat stronger than everything else? Maybe a little bit. So we could do six with one hard beat at the beginning, marking the beginning of each measure. So the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2. Like I said, whatever you're going to do, it's going to be very difficult. But if you listen carefully, there's a secondary rhythm there. Two, three, four, five, six, one, two, one, two, one, two. It's compounded. Each beat now is considered to be the dotted quarter note, which is equivalent to the three of those little fellas called eighth notes. So that's the compound, but we're going to be using, so in 6/8, when you've got compound time, you divide three, that's the top number by three, and it'll give you the number of beats that you've got to beat. So in a 6/8 music, which is obviously compound time, how many times does three go into six?
Two.
So your beat pattern's going to be what? Which is what? The P. All right, Mel, help us. Do a split one for us. Do the first line and the last line. Listen for the main beats. So we have got a number of different time signatures which come under the category of compound time. So 6/8 is probably the most common. It's not common time, but the most frequently found in the compound time is 6/8. But the hymns have all sorts of strange things. We've got a 9/4 in the hymn book. Let's look at that. It's a bit odd duck, 2/7/8. No one's going to be tired of getting up and down. Great Second Coming hymn. Look at that one. That's a quite a thing, isn't it? So you notice the 9 on top of that? Divided by 3, how many beats do you get?
3.
So what sort of pattern are you going to use? A 3-beat pattern. And what animal are we? Well, 9/4 that is. Okay, so now we've got three groups of quarter notes in the measure. one day when is three quarter notes. Heaven, dotted half notes, another three. Heaven was, so you've got nine in there. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. One day when heaven was filled with his glory. Dun, 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 dun. So it's a three count. We'll try this and be our last one for the night, Mel. You should have a special prize. Give us whatever you want for an introduction. One day when heaven was filled with its praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt amongst men by example to be. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified, freely forever. One day his coming, oh glorious day. We've still got time for another one. Alright, so that was good. So that was 6, 8, 9, 8. And we've pointed out there on page 13 that the way you find out there's all sorts of cats. 6, 8, 9, 8, 12, 8, 6, 4 and 9, 4. And you divide each one, the top notes, by 3. And it'll give you the number back. The patterns you need there. So if you've got a 12-8, which is very odd, very rare, but they're there, you'll end up at 3s and 12s, 4, you have a 4-beat pattern. Okay, I'm just going to read to you about the Anacrusis. Not all hymns start on a downbeat, or beat 1. Some hymns start on an upbeat, or an Anacrusis, which the Grove Concise Dictionary of Music defines as upbeat term for unstressed notes at the beginning of a musical phrase. When a hymn starts on a beat other than beat 1, you will notice that the first measure of the song does not have the full number of beats in it. It's just a part measure. This incomplete measure is sometimes referred to as a pickup measure. You will find the missing beats at the other end in an incomplete measure at the end of the hymn. So when you add the two together, it's very mathematical. When you add the beats to the first incomplete measure to the beats to the last incomplete measure, you will have the full number of beats indicated in the time signature. So hymns that start on the last beat of a pickup measure. Hymn 175 will make this our last one now, I promise you. Lovely old hymn. Now we're back into common time. We're not using a compound time here. But look at that. Oh, how I love the Saviour's name. Notice right at the beginning, we're on the word there is a name. And then you've got a bar line. So it's only one quarter note sitting in that part of the measure there. If you go to the other end, right over to the end, you can see why they've tied it up to the end. They've got two quarter notes there in that half note sitting right at the end. So two beats there with the one makes the three. When you add the part measure at the end, the part measure at the beginning, you end up with the right number of beats to the measure. So we're going to do something with this this weak beat, and this is the question here. So a few questions for you. What key is this hymn written in? Was written in the key of G. This was for a general, more Bible college students who had more time to deal with this. How many beats per measure in this hymn? How many? Three. Okay, so we're going to use what pattern? The triangular one, the three peak pattern. Okay. So what value note are we beating? The quarter note, thank you. So in this hymn, how many counts does the half note get? Two. Very good. So half note is double the quarter, it's two quarters and a half. So you get two counts on there. All right, so that's fine. So we're going to use a three-beat pattern. With the piano playing a four-bar introduction and using the three-beat song leading pattern, we'll practice this hymn on beat, starting this hymn on beat three. In practical terms, this means that the song leader will start the first syllable of the hymn with a hand position rising from 3 o'clock to 12 on the word there. So this is a bit of a trick, as we're going to say that there is a name. The congregation generally not going to read that as start. So if the musically educated, this pattern is well understood, the congregation should be on cue to start on the upbeat, providing that the pianist approaches the introduction in strict time. However, if your congregation is musically uneducated and your pianist is somewhat timid, the following suggestion may be helpful. Musically uneducated congregations tend to associate the start of a hymn with a downbeat. For an anacrusis that starts on the last beat of the pickup measure, the following modification is recommended. I'm using the top right-hand quarter of the song leading window as a little spot where I'm going to do my little extra little thingos. Okay? So I'm going to, where it says there is a name, we can still have our preparation beat, and then we just use this there is. So we're sort of coming down in that little window, and that I find it's just a suggestion. I don't know anywhere else that does this, but I think it works well. So there is, and then you're into a three bat. There is, two, three, name. Sorry.
I see your hand behind.
Oh, thank you. Shut it down. We don't need another thing. Okay. Thanks very much, Pastor. All right. We'll try it, Mel. We'll see how we go. Give us an introduction. Sorry? Just do the whole verse, Philip. Okay, so now that's what we're going to do. Yeah, that's beautiful, okay. All right, so we've got to get a preparation there on the name Worth. Okay, so do it again, and we'll try and get our little squiggle in the beginning there. It sounds like it. Okay, we're actually bringing our hand down. It's virtually, the preparation beat, you're raising your hand, okay? It's not so distinct. So it's there is. Let's try that. There is a name I love to hear. Okay, so we've got our first little beat out of the way, right up there. There, that's three, one, two, three. But instead of going three, one, which I think the congregation is not going to see, you can actually direct them a bit better, I think, doing that. That's my first. So it's there is a name. Okay. Introduction again, Mel, and then we'll do it. Getting everybody wrong. So there is two, three, one, two, three. Off it goes. So introduction again. Ready? There is a name I love to hear. I love. In mine ears the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love the Savior's name. Oh, how I love the Savior's name. Oh, how I love the Savior's name. The sweetest name on earth. That's a bit of a workout in the arm, wasn't it? Yes. Well, you can't do a P on that. We'd be joining two bars together, I think. Don't know how you do it. So we're actually putting three counts on each. We actually, it is. It's not going to. Musicians will not like it. All right. Thank you, Mel. Thank you, everybody, for being good sports and entering into this. Pastor, you want to say something before we quit? 10 o'clock in the morning. Okay. Let's pray, shall we? Lord Jesus, thank you for the gift of music. And Lord, we pray that we might, first of all, yield that air of our life to you so that we'll be teachable as to what your word has. And we thank you that you haven't left a vacuum of information, but you've clearly spelled out so clearly for us that all good music is melody. And so we pray to be blessed now as we depart, guide our steps homeward. And Lord, maybe we'll be back in the morning refreshed and looking forward to what you will have for us during the day, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.